It is not about what you have or what you don't have, but it is about the faith that you've been given. So in Jesus Christ, when you got saved, you were given a measure of faith. And each one has a measure of faith that they are supposed to live according to. God has given you a grace to live according to, but a measure of faith. So your relationship with God cannot be compared to someone else. It is your relationship with God. So if you feel like you're not where someone else is, you're right. You're not. God has you where you are. Stop comparing. Comparing will bring discouragement and depression into your life very quickly because you don't know the road they had to walk through. You don't know the grace that God has asked them to walk in. If you can walk in their shoes, then maybe. But God said, your grace is your grace. And so don't try to figure out someone else's life. Let God do that. You do what God has asked you to do because you have enough trouble that you have to deal with on your own. I am convinced that if you just work on you, God will take care of everybody else. And God will give you the grace to deal with everybody else and learn how to let go of expectations that you don't need to have on other people because their process is not your process. Their journey is not your journey. Your faith is not their faith. And God says, I'm interested in you. And so I know here today that there are people who are wondering where God is. He has not left. He has not left. He's right in the middle with you, right in the middle. And the first thing you have to know is that you are protected. You are protected. God has something for you specifically, and he has shielded you all your life. Even when you were born in your mother's womb, it is a miracle that you got out. It was a miracle that you got out. You've been protected, and God has been watching over you since the day you were born. Shielded by his protection. If you don't think about that, look back over your life and see what he saved you from. See what he took you from. See what should have killed you but did not kill you. And God said, not yet. I can look back over my life and see countless times where God said, not yet. But his grace was sufficient. And so know that in your life, that God has been watching you and seeing you through your mistakes, all your mishaps, all your dumb stuff, the stuff that you did. God said, I got you. So you're being shielded. Why? Because eventually Christ is going to be revealed. And I'm saying, not eventually is he going to come back in the physical sense, which we know he will be. And you're being shielded and protected for that day. But Christ will be revealed in your life when this fiery trial is over. Because you will be able to look back and see that God was with me in this, and that if he was not with me in this, I would have perished. But God said, I've been with you in it the whole time. And so Christ is revealed and Christ is honored when you are exercised by the trial that you're in. And he doesn't just give you something to walk through without walking you through it. Some of you are looking at your life right now and saying, I just feel like no one's for me. There is someone for you. He's not against you. Discipline is not a punishment. We look at it as a punishment from God. And you could just be walking with God and you can just call yourself a Christian, but you get jumped by a trial. You get jumped by one. Because the Bible talks about being seized, and we've said this before. Just because you bear that name, you're a target. And we have to remind us, you have to be reminded of this, because what we do is that we think it's strange when a fiery trial comes on us, like it's some strange thing has happened. You don't know by now that it's already strange. It's already strange you walking with Christ in the way you walk with him. It's already strange saying that you have a spirit of God living inside of you and that he leads you and guides you. It's already strange to know that you're thinking about heaven and eternity even while you're down here on earth. It's already strange that you speak in tongues. It's already strange that God gives you wisdom and dreams and revelations when other people walk in the natural mind. But because now you are spiritual and you have a spiritual mind, you can discern certain things. It's already strange that when you walk up to people, you know what they're going through because immediately the spirit God gives you discernment. It's already strange. You already are strange. So when you understand that, you can just walk in it and, you know, I am peculiar. I am strange, but it's good. I'd rather be this way because I see things that other people don't see because God has given me and God has given you that ability to do that. And so if we can just grasp that and get engaged with that to know that, hey, he's called me to walk a different walk, then whatever comes at me, I'm good. It's well. Now, to get there is a process. Because you don't often say it is well when you encounter something difficult, because Paul says rejoice. Our first response is not rejoice. Our first response is retreat. Yeah, true. I can't do it. It's too hard. But faith is not perfected in retreat. It's only perfected as you move forward through it. So if we cannot move forward through it, we will never come into the fullness that God has for us, because it's in the process that God works, not outside the process. Ever notice God in your life? Sometimes you feel like he has long arms and that you decide to get out, and God's got this arm just kind of pulls you right back in and says, no, this is where it is, right here. And so you think you can get out, but God says, I have certain things set for you. There are certain trials and difficulties that you have to walk through, certain seasons and times that I've appointed for you. And so I'm going to pull you back in. And so for us to get to that process where we understand that his arm is not too short that it can't save. His ear is not dull that it can't hear. God hears your cry in the middle of it. But he also understands, as a good father, discipline is good for you. Christians all over the world right now are being disciplined because God's a good father, and he doesn't let us go with that idea that we're illegitimate. You know, it's one of God's ways of showing you that you're his, by getting in your mess and bringing some discipline. It's one of the ways you know that when you walk through difficulty, you know that I'm his. I know I'm his because of what I'm walking through in my life. Because it shows you there's someone interested in your growth. There's someone interested in what you're going through and doesn't want you to stay the same, but wants you to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory so that you can get to the next level. I'm not interested in you staying the same, God said. I'm not interested in you staying stuck. So I will make it uncomfortable so that you have to grow. You have to grow. Just as you grow physically, I want you to grow spiritually. That's what I want you to do. I did not die for you to stay infantile in your thinking. I did not die for you to stay infantile in your emotions. I did not die so that you could be stunted. I died so that you can grow up into all things me, and understand who I am and come into fullness. And so he said, what I'm doing is I'm taking the pacifier out of your mouth. Get it out of your mouth right now, and I want you to begin to speak things. Okay, I want you to begin to learn things. I want you to begin to grow in the middle of it. Stop looking for ways out. Stop looking. Stay in it. Take the hit. Take it. He said, stop faking. Take it. Because what we do sometimes is like, well, we want to grow and we want to do what God's called us to do. But when we get the medicine to do that, we don't want to take the medicine because it doesn't taste good. You know, when you were little, the medicine, and you did one of these, did the nose, you put it back because it didn't taste good. And God said, listen, I understand it doesn't taste good for you, but it's good for you. It's good for you because it's going to bring healing to you. It's going to help you grow into the fullness that I have for you, but also grow to the man or woman that I've called you to be. You can't stay the same. And so discipline is going to come for your growth. Understand that. I'm opening your eyes to see different things. You don't walk according to the way the world walks. Your eyesight has changed. It's different. So don't look at the things that are seen, but look at the things that are not seen, because the things that are not seen are eternal. And that's the thing I'm trying to work on with you, eternal things that have eternal value, because one day when this is over, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. Right now, this is your audition for the next life. God said, I'm getting you ready. All the scenes that I'm letting you get on, all the opportunities that I've given you, I'm just getting you ready. I've gotten you placed in the next life. So how well you do here determines what happens in heaven. And we don't like to talk about that because, like, we're all going to heaven. We are going to heaven. We are. But I believe there are different levels that God's going to bring us into. Different levels of grace and promotion. And so God wants to reward us for our faithfulness. And so how well are we doing here? Take a checklist. How well are we doing here right now? Are we taking advantage of the opportunities? Because when this is over, you are graduating into one place or another. One place or another. And Christians, you have that hope. You have it, hope. It's there. And that hope resides inside of you, no matter what's happening, no matter what's hitting you, because that's what gets you through. It's the anchor for your soul. When your soul can't find rest, it's the anchor to know, oh, the hope I have does not disappoint. Does not disappoint because it's keeping me anchored right now in my life. It's protecting me from myself. And you know as well as I do that if that hope did not protect you in the midst of some of your difficult problems, you probably wouldn't have made it. I was thinking about firefighters yesterday. You know, when they go into a fire, they got to breathe different. They have to wear protective gear in order to help them to breathe right and get enough oxygen so that they can take the flame and the heat that's coming from what they're going into. Okay? They're protected by what they wear. And they have to learn to breathe differently because of what they're experiencing. Do you know it's the same way when you walk into a trial? You got to learn how to breathe differently. Because you're experiencing heat and issues that you've never experienced before. And it's not business as usual. You can't go in with your natural self and say, I'm going to beat this thing, because that thing will come turn right around and start beating you, because it is something that is not natural. It's supernatural. And so you have to learn how to look at it differently, wear that protective gear. Yes, the armor, have that hope that we have, but learn how to breathe differently. Lord, help me, calm me down so I can be slow to speak. I can be quick to hear what's going on and not be angry so quick. Because what happens is, a lot of the times when you walk into a trial, your immediate reaction is you're angry, you're frustrated, and God said, I want to try to teach you something. So I need you just to calm down, breathe a little bit differently. Try to turn your ear toward what I'm trying to help you understand, because you can't get through this without me, and I'm going to teach you a lesson in here. So hold your ear to what I'm trying to teach you right now, and I'll help you with your emotions. Don't worry about it. You're gonna lash out in the flesh. That's all part of the process. So I'm here to tell you today, be encouraged. If you are lashing out in the flesh and things are coming out of you that I didn't know that was in there, God said, you're in the right place. You're in the right place, because when God goes to work, he goes to take up all those impurities out of your life so that he can purify you. It has nothing to do with you being perfect. You won't be perfect. You won't, but you are being proven. So anytime you are proven, there are things inside of you that are going to get challenged. They're going to get challenged. You will physically get challenged. Emotionally, you will be challenged. You will. That's why we preach on it a lot, because you will be challenged. Things will come up in your life that you will have to wrestle with. You will have to wrestle with your own inferiority, your own limits, the way you view God and his view of you. You will have to wrestle with all that stuff. So God says that we can get your emotions right so you can start to walk by the Spirit of God and not by how you feel. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with being led by the Spirit of God. And so my emotions have to line up. That's why there's an attack on your emotional state. Yeah. It always is. Always. About how you feel about your situation. How I feel about it. Honestly, I don't feel great about it sometimes. But I have to turn my perspective and my eyes toward Christ and to know that if this is part of the proving process, then I'm in, I'm yours. I won't second guess. What an appropriate song and a declaration of faith that God has been resonating in my spirit. Listen, when we have that perspective, it doesn't matter. Come what may, come what doesn't may, it's cool. I'm in. I already said I'm in. I'm yours. It doesn't matter. And not to second guess. The one thing the enemy would love to do is to get you to second guess God's love for you. Yes. Second guess. I told you, it's easier to die than to live. It's easier to quit than to keep going because of the perspective that you have. But once you begin to realize that God loves you and that he's for you, amen, amen, it doesn't matter. And the thing about God is he sees your no, but he also sees your yes. You're saying no in the middle of it, but beneath all that stuff, God says, oh, I see a yes. Because deep down, past your flesh, past what you don't see, God sees your heart. And when you say you can have my heart, God says, I'll take it. And I see deep down what you have. I know you can take it. I know. And deep down, you want me in it with you. And so believe me, when I say I'm in and I'm yours, I believe it. I believe it. And the fact that you keep getting up and saying that, God says, you're mine. And the fact that God keeps confirming it to you. Not only that, but he trusts you with it. Trusts you. One of the things that you begin to realize in life is that if you don't begin to face stuff, it's going to eventually take you out. You got to. You have to. We're in football season right now, and people are all excited about the Super Bowl. And one of the things you look about as far as the game of football is, you always look at the running backs. And people always say, and all these announcers before the game say, listen, if they establish a good running game, then what that'll do is that'll open up the passing game. And they'll have a better chance. And everybody tries to predict what's happening and what's going on. But here's the reality of it. If you don't take the ball and you don't follow your blocker and go where you're supposed to go, there is a good chance that you're not going to make the yardage that you need to make. You still have to face the enemy that's coming against you. You can plan all you want. You can try to strategize, but you still have to go against something that's trying to oppose you in order to advance. That's just life. That's just life. You can't take the ball, eventually get up to the line and stop. Because everyone else who's coming at you, it's going to take you out. You got to follow your blocker. Even when the hole's not there, you're going to have to do a little ope-de-ope and go around this way and try to find something. Sometimes you can't find it, but you got to just find it. Sometimes you can't see hope, but you got to look for it. It's not there, but there it is. You got to find it because that's going to be the thing that brings you through. You got to strategize around some stuff, but eventually you're going to have to take the ball and run that way and see if it works. Okay, it's closed. That's fine. I'll try it. Step out again. I'll do it this way. But you eventually got to have the idea that I'm moving forward. The idea is to not get penalized and go the other way. And I wonder how many of us are getting penalized. We're holding on to stuff we don't need to hold on to. We're jumping off sides when the play's not even been run yet. God said, don't go, but you going? Nothing wrong with being amped up. We got zeal, and God wants that, but God's, let the ball get hyped first. Personal fouls, things happening. And God said, listen, if we'll just do what we can to move forward, we'll start to make progress. And it doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. The goal is, though, is not to keep going backwards. What kind of game would that be? What kind of game would that be? You got the ball on the 40-yard line, and you end up fourth down in 87 on the one because of the fact that you kept going backwards. Who wants to see a game like that? The game is meant to see the team actually score. That's the excitement. You want to move forward. You want to try to get past the defense. That's the excitement. Christian, it's about you moving forward, taking the devil out, hitting them, blocking around them, going forward, and scoring. Because you have a hope, eventually, I'm going to get over this, and I'm going to get where I need to be. Your hope doesn't disappoint, even though you got tackled behind the line, even though you got clipped, it doesn't matter. I still got a hope. My eyes are on the prize. I see the touchdown. Isn't that what a good quarterback does? He always keeps his eyes down the field. Always down the field. Always looking. He's not open, but he is. He's like, oh, I got to run. You got to keep your eyes down the field. There's something called an internal clock in football. You know what I'm talking about. Quarterbacks have an internal clock that says, you know what? I got to run. I'm feeling pressure around me, and it's coming. I got to run. There is something in your heart, in your life, that internal clock, Holy Spirit, will give you and say, hey, listen. There's stuff happening around you. I need you just to start running this way and not worry about who's behind you. Listen, nobody's open. They're not there. You just need to follow me and just run. When God opens it up, run. Hey, Lot, get out of the city. Last week's message. It's open. Run. That's why God speaks to you at different times. Hey, listen, get through this. Because they're coming around you, they're swarming. Okay, and the longer you walk with Christ, okay, I got to go. I feel it. I feel what you're doing. I feel it. Right. Hey, get out of this hospital. You don't believe me. Don't. You can't stay here. That's right. I know. I know. Oxygen, all that stuff. I can't stay here. It's crazy. I can't stay here. What you doing? I'm working out. If I gave you the stuff, could you go home? Yeah, I'm going home. I can't stay here. Sometimes you stay in places you have no business being in. It doesn't mean you didn't. You ended up there for a minute. And God said you stay in like, it's like an hour, hour and a half. Listen, 2 hours. Listen, I need you to go. That's why when God stops tapping you and says, hey, you're too comfortable here, it's time to move. I know you. It's too comfortable. You're going to fall right into sin. You're going to fall right into it. Right now, I see your doubt meter, and it is starting to do this. I see it all. I see what's about to happen. You're doing good. You were up here. Now you're starting to go this way. Hold up. What's up? Keep moving. Listen for me because you're being proven. I'm doing something in your life that cannot be done in a natural sense. It's only spiritual. It's only spiritual. You open your door for compromise when you're not in the place where God wants you. Okay, you don't think so? I want you to think about years ago in the glory days of high school when you were back in the time where you were with, you know, her and she was with you and you knew God was like, hey, bro, time to get out of that situation, isn't it? You're like, nah, I can handle it. You couldn't handle it, could you? God's been trying to do that your whole life. Hey, man, it may not be that no more, but it's other stuff. It's other stuff. Hey, listen, come on, continue. Continue to walk with me, because as you get up to new levels, there are new different types of enemies that are coming at you right now you can't see. So I need you to trust me. Trust the work that I've done in you before. Know that I'm for you. I'm not against you. Sometimes God will remind you stuff. You'll see how far you came. You're like, what am I doing settling for that? I do not have to answer to that. Well, and it's just a reminder. Keep moving. Keep moving, bro. You're where I need you to be, because God knows what's coming. He understands what's coming. He knows what season you need to be in. He knows what season you need to be in. You know what's thrown a lot of people off last year? All sports seasons are like, let's start here. Let's not start there. It's half season, not a half season. We're not supposed to have hockey. It's like everyone's all over the place. It's still not right. Everyone's trying to figure out, what do we do? Do we play? Do we not play? It's funny when hockey season should be in hockey season. Right? It should be there. Football season normally is played from August to December. We don't play it from February over to June. It just doesn't work that way. It'd be odd, right? It's odd when you start seeing players like, what are they doing? Because that's not normal for what we see. It's the same thing in our life. It's not normal. It's odd when we're not in the season we need to be in. And God said, I've graduated you from that season. Don't stay there. Keep moving. It's a new season right now. It is. You can feel it. Don't go back to the other one. There's nothing there anymore. And would you want to? There are certain things I don't want to go through ever again. Ever again. And by God's grace, I won't. I'm done with it. It's gotten to me where I need to be, and I'm thankful for it. It's made me who I am right now. And I won't trade it, but I don't want to go back to it. Because I know there are other things that are coming in my life that I have to be in position to face. And that stuff got me ready from where I was going to be. And so I can't go back. I'm thankful for the graduation. I'm thankful for all of it. I'm thankful for the proving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for how you saved me. Thank you for all that. You need to have that attitude toward him. And I am grateful. And as a reminder, thank you, God, for keeping that little reminder in my head to say, remember how that felt? Remember that? Yeah. It gives me the confidence to know that I beat it. What do you have in your mantle right now that's reminding you of your victory? I'm not talking about the bear or the fish that you get from the store that you stick up there. What do you got in your mantle right now that reminds you? I remember that one. That gives me the confidence to know there's nothing that's going to come against me I can't beat. Nothing. Because I beat that. I beat it. What have you beaten? Keep it in plain sight so you can see it. So the next time something comes at you, you know that I've beaten it before. I'll beat it again. Christians are notorious for taking the ball, going this way. I can't do it. It's too hard. Where you should get the ball, and when you see that thing, you should start running toward it. Where have we lost that? Where have we lost it? If God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, or self-discipline, why do we walk in that opposite of that when something comes? Because you know what God has already delivered you from, but you decide to walk the other way. Don't walk the other way anymore. I want you to start. And that's why this year's word is so prophetic as far as being forward. Take what you used to do and say, okay, I don't do that no more. I do this. And so now when I see something, I'm looking for it. I'm licking my chops now on it. And it's not like before I didn't do that. But sometimes you get beat up a little bit and you're like, okay. But then God restores your strength back and you're like, no, I'm going for that. Because I've noticed in my life, when I move forward and engage it, it goes a lot better than me just going the other way, because I'm exercising my authority as a believer to say that you will not have dominance or authority over me. I'm going to tell you what to do. And so when that begins to happen and I engage that, guess what? Proven. So don't be upset when you see me or someone else running towards something in the middle of me, and I can't believe you're taking that. Well, I can. Because in the middle of it, guess what? He finds me in the middle of it. That's where he's at. He's in the deep and the hard places. He's not playing it safe on the shore. He's not playing it safe on the shore. But I see my kids out there. I'm so wonderful. I see my kids. He's out there with you. Let's come out on the deep. Let's get in on it. Come on now. I was talking to my friend, Audi Productions is here today looking at her sound and helping us do some of the stuff with our sound and media. I've known Justin there for over 31 years. Long time. And we were reminiscing today about a story that we had. Justin, I'm going to share because I think it's appropriate. And so we were at a friend's house when we were young. We were like teenagers. And at that time, I was like 148 pounds. Right now, I'm like 170, right? But Justin says it was stronger back then. Debatable. And if Justin's bigger than me, okay, if you see him, but we had a great relationship. We were at a friend's house. We were just playing football. And I'm just, you know, I'm a little bit crazy. I'm just crazy in general when you get to know me. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, right? Right? God said, oh, yeah, you. Okay, so, yeah, you're the one. Okay, good. So, years ago, we were at a friend's house. We were playing football. And so we just played like, hey, it was a game, and it was a kickoff, and I remember the ball going off down to Justin, and I decided, we're playing football, and I really don't let up if I'm going to go after something. We're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to play hard. And I started running full speed at Justin. I'm talking about full speed at Justin. Okay, like, I'm going to tackle this. I'm tackling this dude. He's twice my weight. I didn't care. Justin will say that he let up, but we'll talk about that later. So he started coming running at me, and we collided, like, boom. And we fell over this way into bushes. We broke something. But we got up. I'll tell you what. It felt so good. It felt so good just to give it all I got. I'm giving you that example. Because if I would have let up on that dude, it would have been hard for me. Because it's not the size of the enemy. It's the size of the fight in you. And if you know that you have someone living inside of you that can take out any enemy, then the benefit for you is to say, I'm going to run at this thing full speed. I'm going to throw what I know. I'm going to run things. I'll collide into it. It doesn't matter. Lord, I thank you for giving me the grace. And God says, oh, I like that. I'm going to give you the grace you need. Why? Because your faith will be rewarded by God when you encounter it. And God says, I know you're not perfect. I can see your heart though. And I see what you're doing. Go after that thing. And once you begin to go after, all of a sudden, God helps you pull down strongholds, cast down stuff because you're in it. You're in it because God wants you to win. God, he doesn't want you to lose. He didn't die so that you could lose. No one likes to lose. If you like to, you got to change your perspective. You want to win, and the way to win is to go at it, not to let it come at you. It's going to be coming at you. Once you see it, run after it. I'm going to get hurt. You might. But it might be the thing that brings the biggest breakthrough in your life. Because God begins to show you who he is and break off some of that timidity in your life that God says, I'm tired of seeing my people walk in. I haven't given you that spirit. Walk after that thing. It hurts. I know it does. Go after it. You ought to be looking at that. Everyday opportunities. Once you hear something, you ought to be looking at them. What is that? Where I heard something. You have that type of authority. There is no fear in love, but God has given you a spirit of fear. They're just people. Yeah. Well, I know, but take authority back on your job. Yes. Start praying about some things. Mm-hmm. Go after some stuff. Be the change you want to be. Lift some stuff up. Mm-hmm. Come in with authority. Come in with some ideas. Just come in with it. Come after stuff. Don't back away from it. And that is coming back in the body. I'm telling you. So if you are uncomfortable with that, you better change. Because God is bringing that back in the body. And it's not like God ever wanted it to go. But because of religion, because of certain types of ideologies, there has been a softening of the gospel and its power. And God says, I'm trying to bring that back. And so that's why there's a shifting that's taking place. I need you walking and I need you looking at stuff and going after it. Don't. Think about your life when you were at your best. Don't raise your hand. Oh, well, No. Think about when you're at your best. What was it that made you your best at that moment? Just think about it to yourself. Where has that gone? And I'll be honest with you. I know sometimes it just goes and you're like, I don't know where it went. And seasons happen, but I didn't. No excuses. Where did it go? And you could probably pinpoint it back to something that, well, that kind of, it turned me. Turned me. And God says, I understand it turned you, but I need to turn you back to what's real. And not counterfeit. You got sucked in. I want you to turn this way and see what's real. I've never left you. I've never forsaken you. I've always been true with you. And so once that perspective changes and you allow God to heal it, then you can move forward in confidence to know that he's always been for you. When did it change? God wants to bring it back. God's heart for you is not to die in depression. His heart is not for you to die in discouragement and miss out on the goodness of God. That is not God's heart. That's not the type of God we serve. He is always restoring. He is always at work, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't see it. That's the issue. I just don't see it. You're not going to see it all the time. That's not what faith is. Sometimes you just have to close your eyes and jump. But that's where he is. So what am I telling you? You're being proven. When you see the fire, I'm getting in it. I'm getting in it. I'm not waiting for it. I'm getting in it. I already see it good. This is where he is. All right. I'm cool. Because that's where God wants me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Walking around, man. Jesus is there with them. Get out. They don't smell like smoke because they knew ultimately that if they perish, they perish. But we are not bowing down to this idol. What are you bowing down to right? What are you bowing down to right now? What are you doing right now that is causing you to be lackluster in your faith and that you won't get in the fire because you're afraid about what God's going to tell you? The reason why God's trying to get you in the fire is to take down your idols. I got to burn some stuff off because you're leaning on stuff too much. Lean on me. Well, Lord, I know when you're not strong, right? And so lean on me. It hurt. I know it does, but I need you to lean on me because this is going to help you stabilize that your whole life. You leaned on this. If you lean on me, I'll show you what real stability is. Yeah. So now you just run toward it. Just run. Be in it. Be in it. And this church has done a great job progressing and over the last 3-4 years and going after stuff. That's why the church is not huge. Because a lot of people don't want to do that. You want to hide out in the back and you want to hear a great message in your eyes, something that made you feel good, but no change. And God said, I didn't come and die so that you could stay the same and not change. My word, when it goes forth, is alive. It's active. It's sharp. It does things. It's supposed to change and motivate you. So where are you at in that process? And God's like, I'm looking for my church. Are you the church? This is what we got. Because that's what God's looking for. People who are going to go after it and not run no more. Stop running. Stop running for it. You're uncomfortable today? Excellent. Excellent. You're in a great spot and an opportunity for change. If you're feeling God stir some things inside of you, excellent. Excellent. Talk to somebody. What do I need to do? How do I need to start? Because I'm telling you, that breaking point could be the start of your healing point. And all of a sudden you start to move with God and God opens doors for you that you have not seen before in your life. All because you embraced it and didn't run from it. It's just purification. It's just. Because compromise dulls the Christian walk. It dulls it. And we're wrestling with letting go with what we want as opposed to what God wants for us. And you're not going to win it. You won't win that match. Because all he's going to do eventually is keep his thing on that, his finger, until you relent. If I tell you, I'm doing it for a reason, until you relent. Until you eventually say, yes, amen. I love you enough to keep my finger on it. I love you enough to get you looking at me. I love you enough to help you be stable. I love you enough to get your emotions right. I love you enough to get your mind. I love you enough. I got such a plan for you. Stop resisting me. I got something for you. Stop. I love you enough to allow things to break you. So that you can finally see that I am who I say I am, and I actually have good things for you. Don't settle. Don't settle. Don't miss out on loving me. Don't miss out on embracing the community aspect that I've died to give you. Don't miss out on that. There's a blessing in that. Well, I'm afraid. Why? Don't be afraid of that stuff. Run after stuff, man. Come on. There's a blessing in that. There's a blessing being around other people. There's a blessing doing what God's called you to do. And then start serving and doing what God has called you to do. Start nonprofits. Nonprofits. I don't know what to do. God, I'll show you, God said. Come on, I'm running toward it. Run toward it. It doesn't mean that you don't get tempted to get stalled in your process. But God said, run toward it. Stop running away from it. You're being proven. Third thing is this, you're a reflection. If God says you're a reflection of me, you got to start looking like me. So if you're my son, you're my daughter, then we got to do some stuff. We got to do some work. We got to do some work. And the great thing about God's grace is that it's sufficient even in the middle of your process. You don't have to be perfect. You're just being perfected. But be okay with that. You look better than you did last year. Because you're engaged in the process. Listen, he can see more of himself in you. And that's the win. The win should be, oh man, I'm seeing more progress in my emotions. I'm seeing more progress in my outlook on God. I'm more tenacious now. I mean, I look at things differently now. I just look at things differently. Come on. Shifting from being hunted to be the hunter. Oh, see, what happened was the enemy thought when he hunted you that you were going to die out and be like, that's it. But because when God got in, the Spirit of God got in and said no, all of a sudden it changed your perspective. And now you look at him and say, oh, no, son. Now you're going this way. And so that changes. And so when you look at it that way, then your life has a new trajectory. The enemy, if you just turn the other way and know who's within you, he's got to go. That's the biggest lie of the enemy, and what he tries to do is get you to turn your back. Once you turn your back, you got no confidence because there's nothing there. But once you turn around and the person of Christ is inside you and you have that armor of God, that helmet, that breastplate, that shield, that belt, those feet are guarded. You got all that. You got the sword and that helmet, and you walk in. It's different now. Now it's on. And so when you turn that way and start going the offensive, he says, okay, they're getting it. They're getting it. So, but you got to keep going that way. Keep going. That's what being relentless is. I don't know. No, yeah, you can do that. I remember about four or five months ago, God was showing me something particular about an area of my life. And he said, I want you to keep the pressure on that thing. Keep the pressure on that until it breaks and it changes. Just keep going after it and believe in me that it's going to change. Because the tendency is once you see a little progress, be like, I'm good. I'm good. And God said, what are you waiting on? I need you to keep going. It's from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Enjoy the spoil. That's great. But there are other things you got to do. Keep moving on. You got to keep pressure on that thing, because if you don't, it's not broken yet. Once it breaks and once you start seeing things, then we'll move on to something else. Don't get so comfortable in your victory that you miss out on the next thing that's coming. You're not going to fully retire until you're done here on this earth. So don't retire your Christianity before God says, it's time. I don't care what age you're at. There's other things that are coming for you. So you got to keep your pressure on that point where God says, listen, keep pressure on that thing I want to break. Remember, there are certain things God wants to do in here. Promised lands, everything God wants to awaken in your life. So in order for that stuff to happen, you got to keep pressure on stuff. How do you stop bleeding? Keep the pressure on that spot. Right? So if I want to, come on up, man, if I want to stop the bleeding, if I'm bleeding emotionally, guess what? I got to do what I need to do to get that area healed. I got to keep pressure. I got to stop opening myself up to stuff that is not good for my emotional state. I got to start learning to set boundaries. Come on now. Come on. I'm just struggling. Well, who's in your life? So I got to, come on, you're getting better, but I got, it just hurts. But I might have to let them go a little bit because they're not yours anyway, and it's killing you. Sometimes the people who are closest to you are your worst enemies. Oh, what do you mean, Pastor Richie? They're your worst. Not the fact that they want to kill you, but they don't understand what God's trying to do in you. And so you have to learn to set boundaries. So no, I can't be involved in that anymore because my spirit has changed. My mind has changed. I'm in such a healthy place right now that I cannot afford to allow anything to come in that's going to ruin that. You know, because healthy people can pick out unhealthy people really quick. And so once you see that, it becomes really apparent that I can't. And why would you do that when God did all that work to get you where you need to be? And listen, you went through all that work and suffering to get you to the place where you need to be and comfortable with yourself and what God is doing. Why would you even want to put yourself back into Egypt? Why would you even want to do that? You don't want that no more. It's just too good in this place I am right now. So say what you must, but I got to go. Say what you must, but no, that's a lie. Say what you must, my identity has changed. Say what you must, man, I don't fear that no more. So, and let people wrestle with their own stuff. Keep the pressure on what's bleeding in your life so God can heal it. Because once you begin to see what God is doing, you'll begin to see him in it. And you won't want anything else. Why would you? I wonder how many people are settling for just a counterfeit God. Just counterfeit. I mean, he's okay. But I don't really see the real Jesus. And it's not Jesus' fault. He died to give you that access. A lot of the times, and most of the time, it's us who's in the way and not willing to yield to him what he wants. I'm trying to get in. How many times, no show of hands, how many times has God tried to get in an area of your life? How many times? And you like resisted or blocked it? You're like, okay, not this time. Eventually, until he got in. How many times? Until you begin to see that, yeah, you are who you say you are, but it didn't come without you surrendering. It doesn't come any other way. It doesn't come. And that's the cry, and that's the clarion call to people who are searching for a Jesus or searching for something that's real. You're going to have to defer to someone, even though you may not feel this to be true in your heart right away. You're going to have to defer to someone who knows better than you. Who in his state can help you deal with your natural state. And if you're honest, you know that you have your, if you're honest, come on, let's be honest. You know you're not living your best life. You know you're not. You're not living your best life. And you pretend like you are, but you're not. You're angry. You're upset. You're trying to look for love in all the wrong places. When we see you on Instagram all the time, okay, all this stuff. And all, it's like we're trying to, like you're trying to do this facade thing. And like everything's cool. And emotionally, man, it's all right. It's all right. And it's out of love that God confronts. It's out of love that God sends someone to say, hey, get it right. What are you doing? I got something better for you. And then when God begins to lift you up, you say, you do have something better for me. You do. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter says it. You are. Blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father did. Isn't that what the point is? It's not that a man reveals it to you, but that God the Father is drawing you in. And saying, hey, look at me. Don't look at them. Look at me. I've got it better for you. You tried it so much in your own strength. It doesn't work. I got something better for you. And God will just tell you like it is. Listen, you're not living the way you're supposed to live. I love you. If you just turn it over to me, I'm telling you, and God's pleading with you. If you just turn it over to me, it'll change. It'll change. You'll stop worrying about it. You'll start fretting. You'll start walking in. I'm not saying that anxiety, and we talked about this before, I'm not saying all your problems are going to go away. I'm not saying all of a sudden that Jesus is like Mary Poppins and does like a little thing, and or Nanny McPhee hits the stick on the ground, and all of a sudden things go back to the way they need to be, and things begin to disappear. He doesn't take away all your problems, but he gets in there with you. That's what a relationship is. Don't look at Christianity as the out. Well, that's it. God did it all. I don't have to do anything. That's a lie. He's going to get in with you and walk with you and talk with you and work with you so that you get better at life. Anybody in here who's been walking with him for any length of time says, I'm better. I'm better. Oh man, I'm better. There's nothing better. Even in all the trials and difficulties, it is well. It's well. It's well. I've seen it come or go. It's well. Let's all stand on our feet.